I'd like to share a little message with us from the first book of 1 Peter. First Peter, first chapter. I'd like to start reading at the third verse. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried but with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." I'd like to think about begotten again into a lively hope. And we know the circumstances with the Lord's disciples, how they followed Him, they slept with Him, they ate with Him, they taught with Him, and they loved Him. And they were there through all of His ordeal, His trial. They were, I guess, close at hand. They probably weren't in close proximity, but I believe they followed afar off. I know when the Lord was on the cross, He mentioned to John about, "Behold thy mother." He wanted him to take care of his mother. So they were in close proximity, and they saw the blood. They saw His anguish. They saw death come upon Him. And we know the account about Peter, about how Peter was going to stand up for the Lord. We know that. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and we'll go to death. And I believe all the disciples said that with them. But they didn't have the strength to do that. God's grace wasn't there for them to do that. The Scripture said that He would tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. He wouldn't have someone standing right with Him. And they weren't able to stand. And Peter, after his denial, you remember he went out and he denied three different times before the cock crew. And I believe one account mentioned that when the cock crew the third time, that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And that had to have been quite a look. Peter wrote this scripture. He failed God in his life. And it said he went out and wept bitterly. I don't know what all went through the disciples' mind. They probably thought, this is the end. All that we had hoped for, all that we had dreamed about, they saw it dying, expiring there on the cross. Don't know if they thought, well, we'll have to go back to what we were doing before. We thought, you know, this was our salvation. We thought this was... And they were hurting. They were confused. Until they got word. Remember Mary Magdalene? She went to the temple early that morning, to the sepulcher. And she saw the angels, and then she saw the Lord herself. She thought it was the gardener. And he said, "Go tell my disciples." In one place it said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." I believe the Lord put that in there for a purpose. He recognized Peter's failure. I wanted to note that sometimes personal failures can be some of the most difficulty disappointments in life that there is. Personal failures. When you fail to be what God wants you to be, when you fail to do maybe what God is calling you to do, when you fail to be the light and the witness that He wants us to be in our lives, sometimes we can look and we think, is there any hope for me? But the Lord gave Peter hope this morning, as He does to each one of us. We could put each one of our names in that category with Peter. Go tell the disciples and Brother Bob. I'm not going to put your name in there. You can put your name in there. But failures cause us to wonder, is there any hope for me? Is there any need for me to try to continue on? Maybe it's been a succession of failures. Maybe it's been some kind of a stumbling block in our life that we've tripped over several times. You know, there have been many people that God has touched in their life, that God has blessed in their life, and through personal failure, they got discouraged and they quit. They gave up. They quit trying. The message this morning is that He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You know, the enemy this morning is trying to steal away our hope. He's trying to bring us into situations and circumstances that look hopeless in our lives. That look like there's no better tomorrow. Or there's no way out. I want to say this morning that through His mercy, He has begotten us again unto a lively hope. I want us to be able to look up, lift up our eyes this morning off of our failures, our mistakes. And you know, when the Lord began to appear to them, I want to get that scripture in John, the 20th chapter. Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. In verse 18 it says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. Oh, don't you know the change? They just saw him just a couple of days before. And he had told them, you know, that he was going to rise again, but they didn't get it. And I think if we would have been there, it would probably have been the same thing. The shock of seeing his death, his crucifixion, his suffering, his loss, his humiliation. Verse 19 says, in the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. How'd you like to have been there? And when he had said so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Oh, their heart, their grief, their sorrow was changed because they recognized that he overcame death. He overcame what the enemy had brought against him, the Lord had overcome. Now I want us to read on a little bit more in verse 24. It said, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were with him, within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. How many of us are like Thomas sometimes? And the Lord addressed that. He addressed Thomas. Sometimes we're like Thomas. Sometimes life and the circumstances of life can cause us to question. Doesn't it not? Lord, where are you at? When difficulty comes, sorrow, loss, trouble, we question, like Thomas. Lord, where are you at? That first scripture we read in Peter, it talked about, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage us this morning to keep believing. When it seems like everything maybe is contrary, or things are going contrary, that we would continue to put our faith, our trust, our commitment in the Lord and allow Him to help us and to lead us through our difficulties, through our troubles. Folks, God never promised that there would never be any trouble. He never said that. But He promised to be with us. He promised to help us through. And I want to encourage us in God's love this morning. God can make a way in our lives when it looks like there's no way. He can make a way when the odds are against us. He can open the doors that no other person can open. But we want to continue. He went on, he told Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." We've got to cast aside our doubts, our fears, our unbelief, and continue to believe, to be able to receive what God has for us, the promise that God has given of the help and the blessing that He wants to bestow upon us. Lord, help us today. I want us to note that sometimes our good intentions, our best good intentions, will fail. Just like Peter's did. And when they do, there's going to be a temptation to say, to walk away. Have you ever been tempted that in your Christian life? I've been there several different times. Wondering in the back of my mind, is there any hope? Should I go on? Should I stop here? What am I going to do? Have you ever been there? I've been there more times than once. But I'm thankful this morning that I haven't quit. I'm thankful that I've held on. The Lord's been holding on to me too. When He told Peter, He knew Peter was going to fail. But He said, "I pray that your faith fail not." That's not talking about his failure of denying the Lord. That's talking about him just throwing everything aside and going back to his fishing nets. Which many people in life have done. There have been many that have started out to live for God and serve the Lord, but along the way, they went back. They lost hope. And the devil is out to try to steal our hope this morning. He'll do everything he can to cause you to throw in the towel and say, "It's enough." He did that with Job, didn't he? One thing after another. And his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Give it up." How long are you going to hold on? One thing bad after another happened in his life. I want to get that scripture in James, the 5th chapter. James 5 and 10. It says, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." I can't begin to tell you why God allows all the things that happen that do happen. I don't have all the answers to that. sometimes things happen as a result of sin. Sometimes things, God allows things to get people's attention. I don't know. I'm not God. But I know this, that if we'll continue on in trusting and serving and giving ourselves unto the Lord through all those difficulties, He will bless us and bring us out stronger and better than what we were before. He can turn the things that seem to harm us into stepping stones for our life. If we continue on believing and trusting and giving ourselves to Him. If we just throw away, we just throw it all away and walk away and say, there's nothing to this. I'm quitting. We don't get anything. We suffer loss. But let me ask us this. What would we do? What are you going to do? If a person decides, I'm not going to live for the Lord anymore, where are you going to go? You're going to just go out to the world? The world didn't satisfy me. All of its pleasures, all of its excitements, it didn't bring a deep inner joy and a peace in my heart and my life. But I know the Lord can and has and will. And if we continue on, He said, He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the dead. My hope can be made live again. My confidence, my faith, my strength. The disciples are just like, they lost it. Here they were in this house. They were afraid of the Jews. They didn't know what to do. They were confused. They were at a loss. Sometimes we're going to be in that same house, spiritually speaking. But you know, the Lord has a way of appearing on scene just like He did for them. Doesn't He? You know, it said the doors were closed and He just showed up. Sometimes it looks like the door, the circumstances of goodness is going to be closed and there's no possibility of a better tomorrow and the Lord just shows up. The Lord can do that. You know, when I was pondering this, I thought, I probably would have visited some other people. Some Pharisees and Sadducees and Pilate's about midnight. I've been tempted to pay some other visits. The Lord didn't do that. He appeared in the midst, a conqueror, reigning, overcoming, total forgiveness. He didn't have no debts, unfinished business. He had completed all the business at Calvary. When He said, Father, forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge. He had nothing to settle. He settled it right there. Oh, and He arose from the grave, a conqueror. I wanted to get another scripture in Acts, the 27th chapter. Acts the 27th chapter. This one, Paul and them was on the getting ready to take a journey on ship. Paul in the 9th verse said, Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and north, west. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had attained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by Crete. Sound like things started out pretty good. Soft wind came, going the direction they wanted to go. But it didn't take long for a big wind picked up. I wanted to read verse 17. Said, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. 14 days, can you imagine? 14 days and nights out on this tempestuous sea, tossed with winds. Not imagine the seasickness. It don't take that much to get me sick. I can do it by reading the book, looking down in the car, going through a few curves. 14 days. I'm sure there are probably some empty stomachs. But after 14 days, they lost all hope. Now listen to this. Said, after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. You know, sometimes we get in trouble because we didn't listen to the Lord. Sometimes we suffer because maybe we override, not always, but sometimes we do. If we override what God's leadings are, we can get into trouble that way. But listen to what he said. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good courage, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I think that could have sounded like pretty shallow words after 14 days and 14 nights to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, yeah. Some of you could be saying that this morning in your heart. Yeah, Brother Bob's saying, be of good cheer. You have no idea, brother, what I'm going through. But the Lord was there. The Lord was with them. Even in the storm. The Lord, His hand was over that ship. It didn't look like it. They couldn't tell it. They didn't know. You know, I know some of the darkest times of my life, I felt forsaken at times. But when I look back, I was able to see how God helped me. And I was able to see different little places that He gave me strength and encouragement to go through on. And I believe God is that way today. He'll give us little things to hold on to. Little places where we can when it looks like we're sliding away in our faith, He'll give us little places, little nuggets to hold on to. Don't let go. Be of good cheer. The Lord is risen. He's not buried in an empty tomb over in Jerusalem. He's alive. Oh, when you read the book of Revelations, it talks about His feet were as brass, His eyes as are a flame as fire, and He walks amidst the golden candlesticks. That's amidst His people. The church, the congregation, the Lord is in the midst of them. We don't see Him with our natural eyes. We don't always feel Him. But He's there. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Don't be like Thomas. No. Put your faith in Him. I'll be frank. People that don't have the Lord, what do? Not to have someone that you can go pray to. Not to have anyone when your heart is heavy with a load of care or burdens. To be able to go lay it at the Lord's feet. People in the world, they're not faring very, very well without God, without His help. I want to encourage us this morning to be of good cheer. The Lord is risen. He's begotten us again into a lively hope. And one more thing I want to bring out in this scripture. Well, the book of James, he said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." And it said, "You have seen the end of the Lord." How He is pitiful and of tender mercy. And the Lord restored to Job twice as much as what he had before. Don't you know that Job was glad that he held on to faith? And I tell you what, I'm glad the Lord... Job has been a comfort to a lot of people down through the years. Through difficulty, people have turned and read the book of Job. And they found courage. And they found strength to go on. Lord, help us today. The Lord can bring us out. Lord can appear in our midst. That last verse I wanted to get in 1 Peter. It says in verse 4, it said, "He hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." This is eternal life. The hope that we have that Jesus Christ came to bring us is a hope that when we lay this body down, which we all will at some time or another, but if the Lord doesn't come first, we're going to die. But we have a hope this morning through Christ of being able to live together with Him throughout eternity in heaven. That's a hope that we have. That's a hope that we want to hold on to. He mentioned here, and that's what he's reading, "He has begotten us again into a lively hope." They saw the Lord arise in the clouds. They saw Him go up in the clouds, and the clouds' heavens received the Lord. And He told them, the angel said, "As you have seen Him go, He's going to come back in like manner." We have that hope this morning. And I'm thankful to God for that. I was thinking about a vision that Brother Cliff Smith had a few years ago. I don't know if it was a dream or a vision that he had. But he said he looked up and he saw a lot of the saints that had gone on before us. A lot of saints, and he named a bunch of names that we remember knowing. Of people that were among us. And they were waving their hands and they were saying, come on. You can make it. Keep going. Keep the faith. Keep pressing. You can make it. The Lord can help us this morning. Folks, we have something to look forward to. This life is not everything. We have something when this life is over with. The best part then starts. This isn't the best down here. The best is yet to come. He told us, He promised. Oh, we were at the nursing home the other night and they wanted me to say a few words and I wasn't even really prepared, but the Lord gave me something while I was there. I looked and these poor people at the nursing home, one of them, her eyes were all black. One of them was kind of out of it. They had lived a long life and they were all there. And I told them, we have a hope of a new body. That body that you're struggling with, that body that is frail, that body that hurts, that body that gets sick. One of these days, through Jesus Christ, we can have the hope of a new body, of a resurrection from the dead. And that's the message the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to recognize that there is life, there is hope, there is strength. Be of good courage. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Don't allow the enemy to wool us over and whip us down and discourage us and keep us from being what God wants us to be. He has a lively hope for us today. A lively hope. Because He overcame, you and I can overcome also. We can do it. Can you do it this morning? Are you with me? Are you in? The Lord can help us. It's not our ability. It's not my own intelligence. It's not my own strength and my own willpower. The Lord has promised to help me. He's promised to help us. Let's keep our faith and trust in Him. We can do it by the grace of God. Can you say that in your heart? Are you of good courage this morning, of good cheer that you can say, by the grace of God, I'm going through. By the grace of God, I may have heaviness through my difficulties, but by the grace of God, I want to be faithful. By the grace of God, I want to see this battle, this trial to the very end. And I want to prove like Job that the Lord is pitiful and a very tender mercy. I want to prove the Lord. Our faith is going to be tried. It's going to be tried by fire. Lord, help us this morning. We can overcome. The saints that have gone before us stayed faithful. They stayed true. They were here when very many wasn't here. When there were just a few, they kept coming. Service after service. Why? Because they had their eyes upon the goal. They wanted to make heaven their home. Lord, help us to have that drive in our heart, in our spirit, that by the grace of God, we can be what God is calling us to be. I can overcome. I can be victorious in this life. What's the verse say? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Lord, help us today to rise above. Help us to have a renewed faith. A begotten faith. Lively faith. Begotten of God. Disciples about lost their faith. And there are going to be times when we're struggling, but I want to encourage us this morning to be of good cheer. The Lord will help us. He'll strengthen us. And He'll appear when you're least expecting Him. He'll be on the scene. He'll answer. He'll be there to work things out when you're least expecting His presence and His appearance. Pray for me. I want to be faithful.